ඊළඟට රවුෆ් හකීම් ගරුමන්ත්‍රීතුමා ඔබතුමාට විනාඩි 5ක කාලයක් තිබෙනවා.
මම අර තවත් මන්ත්‍රීවරයෙක්ගේ කාලයත් එකට ගන්නවා පොඩ්ඩක් කියන්නේ. වාසිත් මන්ත්‍රීතුමා.
ඔබතුමා කතා කරන්න.
ගරු මුලාසන අරුඩ මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි, අපි අද විවාදයට ගන්න මේ විදුලි බල පනතට සංශෝධන ඉදිරිපත් කිරීමේදී ආණ්ඩු පක්ෂයේ මන්ත්‍රීවරුන්ගේ කතා ඇහුවම මට තේරෙන එකක් තමයි, මේ අන්ධයෙක් නැත්නම් දෘෂ්ටිආබාධය කෙනෙක් අලියෙක් දැක්ක වගේ කකුලක් අල්ලගෙන මේ වෙන මොකදෝ කතාවක් කිව්වා වගේ, දංගෙඩියෙක් කිව්වා වගේ තමයි මේ පනත ගැනත් කියන්නේ කියලා මට හිතෙනවා. මොකද ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාරක ස්වභාවයේ කුබුදුජ නිරෝෂන් මැතුමාම ඇවිල්ලා කියලා තියෙනවා, මේක අපි අවුරුදු දෙකකින් සමාගම් හැටියට කඩන්න තිබුණ එක දැන් අවුරුද්දකට අපි දික් කරගෙන තියෙනවා, අඩු කරගෙන තියෙනවා කියලා පොතන කියලා තියෙනවා කියන එක මෙතන ඒ ආංශික කාරක ස්වභාවයේ සභාපතිතුමාම කිව්වා. එතකොට මන්ත්‍රීවරුන් එක දෙයක් කියනවා, ඒ අදාළ තැනැත්තා තව දෙයක් කියනවා. දැන් ඉතින් රංජන් දයාලාල්ලා නැහැ උද්ඝෝෂණය කරන්න, ඒගොල්ලෝ වෙන වැඩක නිරත වෙලා ඉන්නවදී. මේ වගේ ඉතාම වැදගත් කාර්යභාරයක් පිළිබඳව ආණ්ඩුවේ ක්‍රියාදාමය පිළිබඳව අපිට විශාල සැකධාතු සැකසංකා පහළ වෙනවා. නාය මස්සේ මිස්ටර් presiding member, in the situation we are in with the very difficult recovery process from the devastating sovereign debt crisis, now we face a very unprecedented existential threat. In this midst, it is important for us to consider legally unbundling the electricity board, its core functions, and push for a more competitive and transparent electricity market. It will enable attracting private capital, enhancing efficiency, which are critical to economic recovery and energy security. Now, that would be considered a landmark step towards a more efficient and accountable energy future. But what are we trying to do? We are trying to reverse the entire process, which was started by the earlier act, which was presented by the earlier government. Now we are trying to reconsolidate the CEB by placing generation, transmission and distribution under 100% state control. Now this will inevitably entrench inefficiencies, deter private investment and further strain the already constrained public finances. This is the end result if we continue on this path. CEB's losses and infrastructure needs is fiscally unsustainable, all of us know that. Our ability to maintain the country's primary surplus and meet the International Monetary Fund commitments is well known. With that issue, we are going to further undermine the country's creditworthiness, limiting access to capital markets and affordable borrowing. Creating a range of investment opportunities, allowing private investors to engage in specific segments that align with their risk-return preferences. Now, we should understand that unbundling has improved operational efficiency, transparency and service delivery, particularly when supported by competitive tendering and strong regulatory oversight. Now, what are we doing now? We are trying to even cripple the existing regulatory framework and trying to bring finance ministry supervision over the regulators' functions. So I would like to read from an article in the Daily FT which talks about Sri Lanka's Electricity Amendment Bill, Trojan horse for national economic collapse. This is what it states. The National People's Power government rose to power promising transparency, institutional reform and green energy revolution. The president vowed to build an accountable electricity regime. The energy minister committed to regulator independence and market modernization. Yet, the Electricity Amendment Bill 2025 delivers the opposite. It entrenches ministerial control, resurrects monopolies, enables corruption, and locks the nation into decades of coal dependence. Enacting this bill will devastate donor confidence, repel investors, deepen energy poverty, and reverse Sri Lanka's hard-earned progress. This is what this particular article says. So there are some details with it. I don't want to go into the details, but I'll come to some other issue that is now being discussed in the energy circles. That is regarding the 2025 tariff revision for standard power purchase agreements governing projects up to 10 megawatts. Through this revision, it's presented as if it's a routine cost-reflective recalibration, cloaked with references to International Monetary Fund and its conditionalities. The substance reveals a different story. This is not a correction. This is sabotage, a systemic deliberate distortion by a group with vested interest that threatens to derail the government's own renewable energy goals. The new tariff structure pegs the cost of equity for solar power projects at 11.47%, identical to the 10-year treasury bond yield. In doing so, it offers zero premium for risk. Let me repeat that, Mr. Presiding Member. Investors in renewable energy are being offered no compensation for the risks they carry, including currency volatility, policy uncertainty, construction delays, and regulatory risk. In global practice, even regulated utilities earn 3% to 5% premiums over risk-free government bonds. What signals are we sending to local entrepreneurs and international investors that Sri Lanka does not reward risk, that we penalize clean energy? This rupee-denominated return only applies to projects under 10 megawatts. Meanwhile, projects above 10 megawatts are allowed US dollar-pegged tariff, protecting larger, often foreign-backed projects from foreign exchange risk. Why is this inconsistency? Are we creating a tariff regime that rewards size, not merit? Are we discouraging distributed, citizen-led renewable investments while paving the way for large, centralized fossil fuel infrastructure? This is not just poor design. This is structural discrimination. Mr. Speaker, I can go on this subject, but I want to refer to another important area that relates to now that we have a very efficient secretary and chairman of the CEB, Professor Hemapala, who is known to me. He had once served under me in an institution where I appointed him as chairman when I was Minister of Higher Education. Very efficient gentleman. But he is also now going to be the chairman of the Lanka Transformers. Now, while there, I would say government should initiate an investigation starting from roots to understand how former public servants became shareholders of the LTL cartel. Did these former public servants pay their consideration for their shareholding? Or were they beneficiaries of an orchestrated scheme hatched by the procurement mafia to incentivize a selected group of public servants to keep the procurement mafia fire burning whilst indirectly controlling the CEB? Parliament should request the subject minister and the Honourable President to appoint a high-powered committee consisting of non-conflicted professionals not aligned to the power industry to deep dive and unravel the maze of entities with cross-shareholding and figure out the net worth of shareholdings of former public servants in this LTL venture. Mr. Presiding Member, it is said that there are some employee trust companies that have been formed, and there are hidden, may Vyangen Vakrakaren, may Kotas Palnekaran, Palantiak, may Asse Inno other Kinaka Pilibandava, Vichala Prasna Tibino, may Pilibandava Sra Belayutui, Mikatiana Vanchava, Elizra Kariutui. We saw there was an IPO for the central government. This entity is worth more than 100 billion today. So, how does such a large amount of shareholding that a few public servants who had been attached to the Ceylon Electricity Board who are now controlling this mafia who are in charge of LTL. This has to be looked into. I call upon the government to look into it very seriously. Particularly the chairman should now initiate an inquiry and let the public know what is happening inside these institutions. Thank you.